be ready in 1 second here. All right, so on a Sunday school morning, we have a shorter meditation, and I had prepared this last winter, and we got snowed out first Sunday in February. And so I just said, anytime we need this, this is actually a really appropriate thing to do at the end of the summer. So Ben and Brooke had given me a book for Mother's Day several years ago called Seeing God in America. It's put out actually by Hallmark, which I think is interesting because I thought it would be pretty generic, and it's actually very Christian, very spiritual. And this book has spoken to me many, many times, partially because I love to travel, and he would take a place in the U.S. somewhere, what was happening at that location, whether it be a natural phenomenon or a piece of history, and then he would give a spiritual application. And so when I was done with that, I thought, I could do that. I could take some of the places I've been, look at what was happening there and what God was teaching me. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go through 17 different places that I've been and what was happening at the time and what I think God was teaching me with that. So first slide is Little Pond State Park in the Catskills, New York State. This was the first real vacation, that camping adventure that we took with our kids. We've been to the beach and to the cabin, but this was our week long. We did a walk-in site where you have to carry all your gear in, kind of back in. Small stream, moving water and rocks. That's what was there. And I was reminded to not rush my two young boys who couldn't have been any happier just playing. We took them on hikes. One day we took a hike and saw 122 red Fs, which are little red newts. But we did different things, but basically we were there. And I was reminded to the sense of wander and play, it's an art form all of its own. Thank you, God, for helping me to rediscover the simplest things like water and rocks through the eyes of a child. Help me to keep that childlike wonder, that childlike faith, simple and uncomplicated. Zechariah 4:10 says, don't despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. So in each slide, I'll tell you what's happening and then give you a spiritual application and finish with the scripture. Oh, turn it on. This way. Am I looking towards you?
Too far.
Am I too far?
Just
okay, next slide. Thanks, Justin. Or is it frozen?
It's frozen.
Ah.
Oh, it's frozen. You can get an ice melt. We're amazingly observing the wonders of technology.
Yeah. Of what?
Amazingly.
Oh, yeah, exactly, exactly. Okay, Mount Washington, New Hampshire. These stacks of rocks you see are called cairns, C-A-I-R-N-S, and they're stacked to show you where your path of hiking is going to lead you above tree line. If you're in tree line, they'll paint blazes on trees, but above tree line, you need cairns. And you can see our path here is heading this direction, up and over, and that's fine when you can see, but on days like this, and we had a day like this where we went from Mount Washington to the Lake of the Clouds hut, we could not see. It was completely fogged in, and you just tried to stay on the path and look for that next tall cairn. Cairns, they're stacked stones that act as a marker when there are no trees. Sometimes the path is easy to see and follow, and it's clear. And other times I question if I'm on the right path. God, thank you for the markers you provide that keep us on the right path. Isaiah 30:21, and your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whether you turn to the right or the left. Now I'll see if this works. No, next slide. There we go, Canadian Rockies, Alberta, Canada. From Banff to Jasper, stunning beauty. One particular hike, a lot of the hikes we took, you could just see out the whole time you're hiking, and it's just beautiful. But there was one particular hike we took near Jasper that it was just arduous and long and not scenic, just for the trees with nagging insects. And I think it was about 11 miles, and we're just like on mile 8, and we're just trudging along. And we're like, should we turn back? Should we keep going? Well, we went this far. But there's a thing called a false summit. So you think you're at the top, and then when you get there, you look, and then there's another peak. You think you're at the top. And so we had multiple false summits, and we were all getting grouchy. But when we finally made it to the top, we stood there and looked out with jaw-dropping beauty across this lake, and we're like, so few people get to see this. For perseverance has its rewards. Hebrews 10:36 says, for we have the need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what was promised. And Galatians 6:9 says, let's not lose heart with doing good, for in due time you will reap if you don't grow weary. Next slide. Mount St. Helens and Mount Rainier. Mount Rainier, this here is Mount Rainier. Here was, that's the crater that's left after Mount St. Helens exploded. So, Mount Rainier, majestic and big and bold and strong and steadfast. Mount St. Helens was the same way, yet underneath it was ready to erupt. God is strong and unchanging, and we want to stand strong, but sometimes things blow up for us on the inside. But what we saw there was beauty from the ashes, new life and restoration. These wildflowers were just amazing, and it was beautiful. It was not the majestic peak of Mount Rainier, but it had a very different beauty all of its own. Thank you, God, that you are the God who restores and makes things even better than they were before, that you bring beauty from ashes and new life and restoration. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. In Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Zechariah 9:12 says, this very day I am declaring that I will restore double to you. God is the God of bringing beauty out of ashes. Next. And if you click it one more time, the video should play. Okay. St. John's, U.S. Virgin Islands. Reigniting the sense of wonder reminded us when we were snorkeling at St. John's Virgin Islands, it reminded us of God's infinite storehouse of creativity. Keeping that childlike, again, sense of wonder, I mean the tropical fish and the colorful seaweed and the coral It was just swimming through a real live aquarium, and it was nothing less than astounding. God, your creation never ceases to amaze us. Genesis 1 said, and God said, and it was good. Or glowing in the dark algae. I want to do that. Next slide. Twillingate, Newfoundland, Canada. Fjords, whales, puffins, and icebergs. Iceberg Alley, all these icebergs come floating down. We took a tour and got up and close and personal to one of the icebergs. We see 10%, I keep reading and make sure it's fact, but as they keep saying, 90% is under the water, not visible, and we see only 10%. What I see, know, and understand oftentimes is only a fraction of what is really going on. Lord, I will trust you with what I can't see or begin to understand what is going on. Joshua 14:1 says, don't be troubled, trust in God, also trust in me. Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. Next slide. The Great Sand Dunes National Park, Colorado. Unexpected. I mean, you've got the Rockies all around you, and then all of a sudden, there are these massive sand dunes. A natural wind funnel that blows in two directions and deposits sand. It's fat. We watch people snowboard down them. It was absolutely fascinating to walk across. God, you've done the unexpected through time. And certainly no one was expecting God to become human, be killed, and rise from the dead. It doesn't get any more unexpected than that. Because of this unexpected act of love, though we die, we too shall live. 1 Corinthians 15:22, but also in Christ, we shall all be made alive. Next. Estes Park, Riverwalk, Colorado. Estes Park is adjacent to the Rocky Mountain National Park. It's a beautiful town with an inviting walking path along a small river. It's lined with restaurants and points of interest, and they're actually created places where you can walk down into the stream, inviting you to slow down and explore the water. It's meant to be enjoyed, to stroll, to savor, to slow down, and experience. Ultimately, in our lives, rest isn't about a place. Our rest is in a relationship with Christ. And sometimes we need to slow down and savor and truly experience our life with Christ. Mark 6:31 says, come away and rest a while. Next. Yankee Boy Basin, Ouray, Colorado. Sometimes you just need a guide. This particular section of mountain range, you were allowed to rent a Jeep and drive up yourself. And if you got up there and got stuck, it was your job to hire someone to pull you out and drag the Jeep back down. We took a guided tour. And on that particular morning, at that particular hour, Mike and I were the only two people in his Jeep. So it was a two-person guided tour. And once we saw the roads we were on, we were so glad we did not decide to try to rent a Jeep. But when you got up in there, wow, it was nothing more than just astounding natural beauty. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that I can put my complete trust in you to be my guide. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. Next slide. Grand Canyon National Park, Arizona. This chasm, breathtakingly stunning in beauty and color and texture and design, and no one has bridged the gap from the north rim to the south rim. No man can jump the gap. There's also a chasm between earth and heaven that no man can jump. Thank you, Jesus, for bridging that gap that we may enter heaven. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Next slide. Yeah, that was Ben. That's why I'm gray. I'm like, Ben, get down from there, please. Of course, I did this next one, I did this to my own kids. Okay, this is called The Knife's Edge. It's at Mount Katahdin. Mount Katahdin's the beginning of the Appalachian Trail. The Appalachian Trail actually goes off this direction, and this is a 1 mile ridge. Knife's Edge for a reason, it's called that. And there is Mike and Caleb and Ben, hard to see, but they are headed up that ridge to do this hike. Mike and I did this when we were, before we had children, and it was a nice calm day, and we walked across, and thought it was just quite breathtakingly beautiful. We take our kids up there, and it was windy. And that gave a very, very different feel to this nice little hike.
20,000 feet down on either side.
And parts we crawled, parts I thought I brought my kids up here to die. What was I thinking? And we made it across, and Mike kept saying, well, people don't die doing this hike because they wouldn't let you go, until we got to the other side and on the way down saw a plaque of the names of all the people that have died doing this hike. I am only laughing because I can talk about it now because we all made it. The Knife's Edge, Mom's idea to go to the Knife's Edge. Because it was windy, we were incredibly focused on our footing, overcoming fear, staying keenly focused and not giving in to fear as we crossed. Psalms 21:7 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, in whom shall I fear? Philippians 3:14 says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The Knife's Edge, next. Bryce and Arches National Park, Utah. Another planet. Having never been to the Southwest before, I felt like I was on another planet. It is just amazing and beautiful all in of its own. We are indeed foreigners in a foreign land as Christians. In Philippians 3:20, it says, our citizenship is in heaven, not here on earth. And Ephesians 2 calls us strangers and aliens. When you're there, you do think you're in another planet. It is amazingly beautiful. You can see how small we are here and how big these arches are. Next. Acadia National Park, Maine. Acadia National Park is just beautiful. It's a rocky shoreline. And there's so many just beautiful sights along this coast. One thing that's a tourist trap is called Thunder Hole. And Thunder Hole, anybody been there? Okay. Okay, so Thunder Hole is a spot that occasionally and rarely, the wave just comes just in right and it just makes a huge thunderous boom and the wave shoots way up in the sky. And so when we were there and the kids were littler, Caleb was insistent he was going to wait there until it thundered. It never did thunder. We waited and waited and waited and waited. It was just a joke because it just little, it never did it. So at any rate, we're there 2 years ago with Brooke and Kim and our family, and Caleb's like, we're going to Thunder Hole. Of course we are. So we go there, and Mike was down walking down first, and Caleb's coming down with the backpack with Owen. He was little. And Mike gets down there, and no sooner does Mike get down there than the hugest wave racks in there, hits it, flies in the air, and Mike gets hit with an entire wall of water. Caleb could not stop laughing. He thought that was the best thing. I knew it worked. I knew it did that. So Thunder Hole. Sometimes life brings us surprises because we were not expecting that to happen the second time. Sometimes in life we wait and we wait and we wait And then without warning, God answers in a big way. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Next slide. Nantucket Island, Massachusetts. Nantucket Island is it has a whaling history, and the way it's 13 miles off the coast, and where it's located, its location is just prone to storms and fog and strong currents, and there have been over 700 shipwrecks and life-saving rescues in this area before all our modern navigation came about. There's a Nantucket Maritime Shipwreck and Life-Saving Museum, and it's really quite fascinating, the harrowing things that they had to do to try to save ships and save people. Thus, there are lighthouses all around Nantucket Island. Jesus, your light cuts through all darkness and any foggy outlook we might have. Luke 8:16 says, the light is placed on a lampstand in order for those who come in may see it. Next slide. Antietam, Maryland. I was the vehicle support driver for the Life Cycles trip that went down into West Virginia last year. One of the stops was in Antietam, Maryland, in the height of the Civil War. It was the most deaths in 1 year at this location. 22,717 men died in 1 day. As I set up the car for these guys to come, you know, I had to wait a little while. I walked through this pathway. This side's a huge open field, and this side is just lined, the whole thing is lined with monuments. Each monument names a regiment and the men who died from that regiment. It was sobering to walk through. They put out these markers to mark this place, to remember this place, because many, many people had fought and lost their lives there. In Joshua chapter 5, let me get myself to the right place. Chapter 4, 5 through 7. It says, and Joshua said to them, cross again to the ark in the middle of the Jordan, and each take a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of Israel, and let this be a sign to you and to your children, that when you look at these stones, they say, what do these stones mean to you? And then you shall answer them, because of the waters of the Jordan were open before the Ark of the Covenant when we crossed the Jordan. The waters from the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be a memorial to the sons forever. I think it is a right thing to put standing stones, things that help us remember the work that God has done. Romans 8:11, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through Jesus who dwells in you. God fought the ultimate battle that we could never win. And the cross marks the place where humanity was set free. The cross is the ultimate monument. Next. Harper's Ferry. On the same trip, we went to Harper's Ferry. It's a very strategic location where two rivers meet and three states meet. The Potomac and the Shenandoah Rivers meet there. During the Civil War, it was fought bitterly back and forth. I think I read it changed hands 8 times as everyone tried to fight for control of the Harper's Ferry area. It was a strategic location. I'm reading out of this book. Harper's Ferry is one of the ones he highlights, and I really like how he words it, and it goes like this. By any measure, Harper's Ferry is a strategic place. But so is where God has placed you. You are in a vitally important location, whether it seems that way to you or not. God has a good reason for placing you right where you are in this season of life, and He has a plan to use you. You may live in a place with critical spiritual importance in the ongoing battle between light and darkness, and God may be calling on you to pray, shine your light, and fearlessly identify with Jesus. The point is, until God clearly moves you somewhere else, this is precisely where He wants you. And there is something right here, right now, that He wants you to do. You are indeed in a strategic location. Last slide. Lancaster County. Sometimes we don't appreciate what's right under our noses and right under our feet. Lancaster County and Central Pennsylvania is beautiful. Genuinely beautiful. Sometimes we need to just stop and slow down. I'm getting more and more and more Amish neighbors all the time. And we need to stop and slow down and learn what God wants us to learn. Destination can sometimes be an afterthought. What really counts is the journey. It's not the getting there that's always important. It's the being there. Many of us spend much of our days aiming at an end point, finishing a project, completing a task, achieving a goal, or arriving at a destination. In the process, we miss tasting and savoring and taking delight in all God's blessings on our doorstep today. Where has God placed me? Who are the people around me right now? What opportunities has God set before me in this season of life? What sights and sounds and flavors and experiences and wonders has He placed for me right this very day? Psalm 16, the Lord says, "Be still and know that I am God." In other words, slow down, cease striving, and make the most of the vistas in your journey of life. Let's pray. Lord God, whether we go on a vacation and see this amazing world you created, or we're here going to school, working, and being about our daily lives here, right here in Lancaster County, Lord, you have us in a strategic location. Help us to know what you'd have us do this day and every day. Help us to be lights. Thank you, Lord, for the way your beautiful creation reminds us of things and characteristics about you. Help us to be mindful of you no matter where we go, no matter what we do. May we be your hands and feet and be used by you. And thank you, God, for keeping us safe on the knife's edge. In Jesus' name, amen.